8000 Hertz, Frequenz Julien. Ein neues Format, and before you are thinking why she's talking in the beginning so much in German, no worries. I have a guest today here. We have the new or the first edition is this kind of podcast format in English. So give me 1 or 2 minutes and then we come back to our guest. Wie ihr es ja vielleicht schon mitbekommen habt, 8000 Hertz, wir haben ein neues Format, 8000 Hertz Frequenz Julien und Welle Bene. Keine Sorge, Bene und ich werden weiterhin zusammen Podcast machen. Wir haben beide gemerkt, wir sind viel unterwegs bei diversen Events im Ausland etc. pp. Und in der Kombination 2 plus einem Gast oder auch 2 Gästen ist es manchmal schwierig, einen Podcast zu machen. Und da haben wir uns gedacht, dann nehmen wir doch die Möglichkeit, dass wir ein bisschen flexibel sind und für euch geilen Podcast Gäste einladen und so ein bisschen einfach freier unterwegs sind. Und ich hoffe, ihr appreciated das, wie man so schön sagt. Und genau, also von daher geht's jetzt auch gleich los. Und ich weiß jetzt auch gar nicht, was ich noch alles sagen soll, weil ich bin auch ein bisschen aufgeregt. Ein Gast ist da, wie gesagt. Und es geht diesmal los auf, ich wollte schon sagen, Spanisch oder Französisch. Es geht los auf Englisch. So, let's go. 8000 Hertz, Frequenz, Julien, today in English. Let's go. So, hello and welcome. I have here a guest from I don't know where. I know his name, Jaime. Where are you from? What are you doing here in Berlin? What's going on?
I love that you call me Jaime because most of the people call me Jimbo. And then when someone tries to call me Jaime and does it wrongly, I don't allow them to do it again. or I ask them to reduce them. But since you are French, you pronounce Jaime perfectly, man. I didn't know what you said before in German, but I hope you were not insulting me.
No. It's a good introduction. Thank you that I say your name on the right way. Because yeah? I have also the same problem here in Germany. Since years that they say Julian or something like this, and it's actually Julien, or I say like Julie, yeah. Or my second name, Ted. My question is, Jaime, where are you from? What are you doing? Or I saw a lot, what are you doing? Because I can't really, get it in one order, because you are also somebody who do a lot with bikes, but what are you doing here in Berlin?
So maybe by answering that question, we'll answer what is my main or my biggest part of the cake in my life right now. So I'm here because I work for Panomale Studios, and we are hosting a social gravel ride on Saturday with Cycle Boutique, the shop that we partner with. And that's the main reason, to get people together on Saturday, have a good time, have a coffee, nice Advent pastries, and that's the reason. And basically that is the reason. And then I have a lot of friends here. I love being here. Somehow,
You're originally from Spain, right?
Exactly.
Where, when I can ask you?
Yeah, I was born and actually grown in the southeast of Spain, Murcia. Mm-hmm. Before, I used to say that I was from Madrid because it's where I've spent a lot of time, mm-hmm. and I'm very connected to Madrid, but I love now saying Murcia. So people start placing Murcia on the map. Okay. It's a coastal city, which actually, if you zoom in on the map, it doesn't have coast. So it doesn't even have coast, but it's a coastal region. Nice, good vegetables. Sunny, it's good fun. But I have been the past years based in Switzerland, and now I'm pretty much on the road for Panomale. I live in the van. I don't sleep in the van, but I'm always traveling. Basically, I have my belongings all over the Europe.
Okay. So all over the world or in Europe with the van Panomale. You say you are often in Berlin, also with the brand Panomale, or your, because I see you have two other projects in your life? Berlin, why Berlin? You say you have a lot of friends. You told me before you go to a dinner with Lea. Greetings.
Greetings to Lea. I'm a club. Yeah. I mean, I like being here. I like visiting friends around. And why not? Yeah, I have my bio of Instagram. There's two more things exactly. But my main thing and where I put the focus today is on Panama Studios. Yeah.
Okay. So there are two things you told it in your Instagram bio, because today that's the book of life. I would say. You have on the one of your projects where I was also getting interested was the looping grams. You say this looping grams. What's going about this project? Oh, I know it. I think I know a little bit about it, but for our listeners.
How much time do we have? I need to tell this story short.
Actually, we have the time that we need.
I will find a balance. Explaining the stuff and talking, but without extending too much. Looping grams. Is, as I claimed, as I put the claim, an epic solo ride against elderly solitude. Basically, it's a project that I put together with my grandma. She's this grandma who has this need to help the world. She helps everyone that is around her all her life, but in a very local level. And now with the news and so on, she was like, I need to help the world. What is the world? And I always talk, hey, let's find a cause that moves to both of us, and I'm going to show that the world is going to hear you. And we were looking for more obvious causes related to the third world and so on, and we realized that the cause was in front of us, and it was the most attentive way, which was fucking spend time with the elderly. And something that I shout and I promote is that when you do it for them, but it pays back super quickly. Like, it's insane. I just have so much respect for everyone that is even one day older than I am. I just have respect for people that have been longer in this planet, and elderly are they have been here since so long. So every time I do a challenge on the bike, because I do stupid stuff on the bike sometimes, my grandma always lights up a candle to symbolically take care of me. And this Christmas, I went to the candle store, and the biggest one I found. I came home. It's like, okay, this is my voucher to do a massive challenge on the bike. Well, as big will be the challenge as the candle it is, because I'm gonna do the challenge while the candle is on. Okay, so we will lighten together the candle. Actually, set the date in October, and I will run. I will ride my bike like an absolute maniac until the candle goes off. And that's what we did. I just put the brands that I wanted to put together, the right people, and we with a clear message, which was, looping the grandparents, so involving the grandparents that were looping grams, what the name comes from, in our lives, because they just have so much to add on for us, and we also have a lot to give them. And I think today's society is quite disconnected, right? Elderlies with youngsters. So that's the whole thing. I was trying to make taking care of your grandma looks cool, like to make it interesting, right? And I wanted to do also a project that I will consume myself. I love cycling. I love challenges. I love these things, but I don't watch a single video, and I don't listen. I don't think that projects. Well, sorry, there might be some of them, but usually social projects, charity projects, they go very good with the challenge.
Yeah.
But when these two legs work, but then the aesthetics, the communication, usually it works for a very specific public. And I wanted to do something that is broader, that will that my friends are into DJing will like it. My friends are into some other things. My grandma's friends will like it, my whoever, to all publishers. So
and the cycling community, I think.
Exactly. The people who ride bikes, the people who like pushing themselves, and all this part of more obvious public. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you say a lot about this project. Sounds really interesting. Two little questions about the candle. How big was the candle, and how long? Yeah, do you ride then? Like you say, like from October to November, December.
No. From the candle is 40 centimeters tall and 15 centimeters of diameter.
Yeah.
So a big guy, like a very big guy. And I didn't know how long will last.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had to ride until it will go out. And I was, from one side, I was, the main purpose was to inspire, to push the message, to push the investigating a little bit. I've seen how much is this of an issue. Like, just people at a certain age live more sad and shorter. And this is what I wanted to push. And then we were also raising funds for Cycling Without Age, which is a NGO from Copenhagen, that basically takes elderly on a cargo bike ride. So it again, I don't know if it will last 3 days or 15. And at the end, it was 8 days that the candle was running. And then I had like different. I was also the route was quite guided by my heart and my grandma's heart, so I had no destination either.
Okay, yeah, this was also my next question is like, where do you cycle in these 8 days? You say 8 days, Where do you cycle around your hometown? Like cross over all over in Spain, or you was freestyle or the inspiration of your grandma?
My grandma asked me to go to her hometown where she has grown and where all the nice stories of her life were happened, and that's the complete opposite corner of Spain. So that was 1,000 kilometers already, and then I looking at the candle, it's like, this guy is gonna last longer than 1,000 kilometers. So I had added a second checkpoint, which was similar thing but for my grandpa who passed away last year, and it's where to me cycling is born in my family, because it's where he started cycling and he's the only one that has been riding in my family. So it was also the same, and then the same reason that will add 600 kilometers more, 1,600 kilometers. And then I look again at the calendar, I think it's going to last longer. So I put another checkpoint on through Girona.
Yeah.
Because what I today consider that is the best ambassador, or the one that has the strongest story about elderly, is a friend that probably you know him, her, is Alison Jackson, the Education First writer.
Mm-hmm.
And she has such an story, and she really believes in the project. So it's like, I'm gonna go there, meet Alison, so she can tell us her story. So those were the checkpoints, yeah, more or less. And then if the candle will continue, then I will decide.
Okay. And all the loops, what you are doing, or like the rides, you are actually alone on these trips. And how is with you get feedback from your community, or how is it? Because I do with a friend of mine, Alex Bregenzer, like a kind of social ride, means like about ADHD, like making awareness about ADHD, and just show the people how we live with this, because there's no good way or wrong way. I think everybody's on his own, has his own opinion. We think, okay, sports is one of the best thing what you can do, and then there are like other topics for this. So we are in connection with these people on our group rides. How is with your community? Did they send you messages, or when you are in a village or in a city where you make your break, you talk with the people, or
Actually, Looping Grams was insane, and that beyond how much money we raised or we didn't raise, it was a success because of what you just said. Like, people was really engaging. Like, I received a lot of messages of, man, like, you are making me want to spend time with my grandma, with my grandpa, or with my neighbor who is isolated or whatever. And yeah, the community on social was big, mainly in Spain, but also abroad, because the project was half Spanish, half on English. But then also physically, there were people coming along the road to see me, to join me a little bit. And when I arrived to cities, even people will know about me. So I'm not a communicator, although I like it, but it's not what pays my invoices today. So I'm not someone who spends and takes the time to communicate. But Looping Grams, I did. I had that super sharp message. I pushed it out there, and people were really connecting, because I think it's a cause that affects both of us. Like, we can do all a little bit better. That was, to me, was super important. Don't fight for a cause which is far from what we know. It was more about taking actions. And yeah, it was actually super, super satisfying and super rewarding.
Okay, nice. And you have with this project for next year also some write out what you will do alone, or because you mentioned before you work on the one side for Panomal, the cycling brand from Copenhagen. and then you have your project would also take time, but also with the Panomal van you are like actually every week around Europe. So what's with Looping Gram for next year, or you have that, still
that's,
some?
That's a good question. I kind of regret it many times doing Looping Gram because it was not fitting in my life, and of course I really want to focus on Panomal, and that's what I do, and this is what I want to do even more this year. And there is no space for another Looping Grams. But what I don't want to let the project die either. There's a thing that has happened, and I want to keep it up, right? I want to, and now I talk about Looping Grams as the Olympic torch that I hand over to someone else, so someone else can do something similar, pushing the same message. So ideally, I actually already have the person, so I won't say ideally. So I have the next person that would be like the ambassador of Looping Grams. Looping Grams is not Jimbo Safi, and Looping Grams doesn't need to be writing. Looping Grams, I need to define the pillars properly, but it's the social cause, which is very obvious, taking care of the elderly, with that aesthetic part of it, plus sports, but in a good communication way, it's a little bit those legs, right? So ideally, every year, there's one person that uses Looping Grams as a platform, and I will assist on shaping the project and helping and so on. But I don't want to write, and I don't want to take that much time as I did this year. But I hope I will make it work so it's rolling sort of on its own without taking too much of my time.
Yeah, it's a nice concept. So you have the bike is still rolling, you know. You have a little overview because I check it, like super nice design. Also the website and like the posting, typography, the colorways. So there's some also some taste on topic on it. It's not not bad at all. And it's the next person who will do it. It's also only Spain based, or it's also like, hey man, when I like the way you ride and your feelings, you can do it everywhere, or how it is?
He's actually from Spain, but it's a coincidence because it doesn't need to, and I actually want to expand it far from Spain. But this is this person who came with me with a story, super strong, and I really like this person as like personally, and he's also a very humble character that I like when characters are character, but they're also very humble, very human. He already has a story with his grandparents. He's also a crazy runner in this case, and so this first one was very, very organic, and actually, he telling me his story is, and hearing all these stories is what has pushed me to don't let it die. The idea at the beginning was to let it die after the documentary. We are putting a documentary together that we will release in a couple of months, which is the main piece, which we tell like everything since how it was conceived at the beginning. And
okay, so you need to send it to me so I can also spread it.
I have expectations.
Okay. Another question. Like, you roll alone through Spain. Two questions. which kind of bike do you ride? And perhaps we can go also to your other project, like Safi Works. And because I like music, I also like to hear podcasts, but more podcasts like classic ones about politics and something like this, not about, sounds a little bit stupid, cycling or sports or something. And what's your, yeah, when you are there alone on the road, what do you hear, music or podcasts? Which kind of music do you hear? And when you are really fucked up, you know, you say, oh, fuck, I need to go. What's your, do you have some push?
Yeah, I have like two kind of shifts. I measured how long I ride in like shifts of 4 hours. And I have these 4 hour podcast that I just consume, which is talking about shit, which I love it, 4 hours like that. And then I have then also I listen to music, either more house electronic, a lot of Spanish indie. And then I have my list of guilty pleasures that I would be super embarrassed to show if someone sees that playlist. But it makes me sing and makes me get good memories. And yeah, but that is private.
Yeah, I can feel it. I can feel it. Sometimes you are like, I don't know, it's too hot or it's raining all day, and you are like, I hear this podcast, okay, the nice mixtape, also cool. I need this kind of music where you sing, okay, don't show it, it's too stupid, but it works.
That is the ones, the screenshots that I don't post on Instagram, yeah.
And yeah, the other question.
The kind of bike, yeah.
Yeah, the bike. What kind of bike? Do you ride with a BMX, with a gravel, with a road bike? With I don't know, you know, today everybody has his own style.
Actually, the bike I rode was perfect for the purpose. It has more purposes, but also for long distance endurance riding. It's, as you mentioned, a Safi Works, which is what, I mean, we can maybe talk a little about the brand a little bit more, but yeah, it's like an high-end steel bike, all-road kind of. So it's like this kind of, you know, the endurance bicycles today, they feed up to 38 millimeters and so on. And I had like full fenders set up and 32 millimeter tires. And it has quite a sportive position because I just like when a bike looks slow, but then it has a sporty fit, if the person can fit it. And yeah, it's a Safi Works made out of Columbus Spirit and Life, full fenders with wrist strap, the English bags company, full ceramic speed, force, AXS, yeah.
High end.
Yeah, like a nice bike.
Nice bike.
At least, yeah. I always say that if I ride the bikes I want to ride, I'm in the right place.
Yeah.
Because years ago, I was dreaming with riding these bikes. Today I ride them.
I think also like the future of the bikes is the all road bikes, because when you watch today, like the road bikes, they even go with 32, 34 millimeters. The gravel bikes is the same if they are, you know, like sometimes so thin the tires or like super fat, and you can just roll, make long distance, super, super sportive, but you don't fuck up your back. And you say it, Safi Works. What's this? You know, it's your brand. Are you also have the time to build up bikes, steel bikes?
I like when people call it completely Safi Works. Normally people call it Safi.
Safi?
Safi Works, like it was actually, so Safi has the name Safi has a funny story, but the word works, I love it when it goes together because it's such a positive, it's like Safi works. Like Safi does work. Like it is actually working. So I usually just hear Safi and it, to me it's empty. Safi works, yeah. Yeah, this is, I used to build these kind of high-end steel bikes one by one custom in Madrid. You know, well, maybe you don't know because I live quite in a bubble in this regard, but yeah, like a one-man show from building, painting, designing, cutting tubes, everything. And I was building them, I was selling them made to measure. And I always wanted to scale it. Like I just want more people on these bikes. This is my main purpose. I want more people to understand this product and more people to ride it because people don't know what these bikes are capable of and why they need them. I think people is chasing an empty trend that has no ending. Whereas these kind of steel bikes are the bike that 98% of riders actually need and want. But there is obviously not big brand pushing it with the right budgets to make these bikes desirable.
I think, sorry that I interrupt you, because it's super interesting. No. I also ride steel and aluminium. I have the Pathfinder from Standard, and it's one of my favorite bikes. It's actually also all road. You can ride there like from here to Norway without any pains in the back. You know, you can go gravel, you know, my cross, or even gravel. I did with them like all the Morocco Atlas mountains, but also on the road, everything. I just saw, I don't know, 1 or 2 days, because this was also a question, like the market, it's specific, the market with these steel custom-made bikes, like high-end nerdy stuff, but it comes more and more also acceptable in this kind of biking scene. I think, I don't know if it was Pinarello or something, they put out now a steel bike, today, but often the people think, like I think in our environment, people know what's about to riding steel. It's not that you have a bike who's 28 kilos. You take hours to come to the next village. You know, it's like performance. And then I saw something or a post that Pinarello makes now a steel performance bike, whatever. Colnago. Sorry. The super one in. This was also the first time like a big brand is. Yeah. I don't know.
But they used it as a, which I think is nice to whatever say that is, whatever the birthday, the 100th anniversary or whatever. But it's not accessible despite, obviously, it's more a marketing thing, and which I think is completely fine. But what I was telling before is that I stopped building the bikes myself, and I went to the industry. I went to BMC in Switzerland in particular to understand the bigger picture, to understand the products, the materials, how the industry works, what the people need, what they don't need. And it was born when I was very young and by my ego. At the beginning, it was I want to put my face on a down tube and call it. Like, it was very like this. But now that I stepped aside and I'm out of that cave, and I don't need to do Safi. I don't need to make it in the future, but I do believe in Safi as a scalable company. So not me building the bikes anymore without compromising the quality, human and product wise, on the company, right? And I think this market doesn't exist, to be honest. But it will. You were talking about a Standard. It's a very good example of a company that is pushing this a lot, and I really admire them for many reasons. And I think they are doing a lot for people like me. I do believe that. This I can talk forever. I'm gonna go fast, but I want more people on these bikes, and now I think the best position to do it is me being out there and not building them, but being here on this podcast, telling about, right? If I would probably be building them, we would have never connected, and I would not have been able to say this to these people, right? So this is my position now. If it's written Safi on the down tube or something else, I don't really care, although I think Safi has something to offer that no other brand does today. That's the reality. Okay. But it doesn't need to happen. Like, now I'm super focused on Panama. I love it. I take it personal. So I'm just enjoying riding the bikes I want, pushing the brand with zero effort, just riding myself the bikes, and super relaxed, because it needs to happen. I will see it naturally that it happens, but I won't force it. When I say happen, is again making them at a certain scale and not one bike a week as I could.
Yeah. And how was it, or like, what was the main thing you was going? You was in Madrid and say today about I will build my own bike. Do you have something like a experience from there before? You was working this kind of business, like, or with other materials, or?
I studied engineering, and then I'm gonna try to do the. Thank you, man. I feel at home. Sorry, because you don't want to see it, but Julian is making me feel at home. I studied engineering, and actually automotive engineering. I went to Italy to the Ferrari University, and somehow there I found this punky guy building cargo bikes on a steel in Italy, and actually it's like, wow, this is what I want. I want to build cargo bikes. And I got crazy into cargo bikes, and I stopped automotive engineering. I did industrial design engineering, like cargo bikes are gonna save the planet, right?
In the Ferrari University in Italy. No way.
So actually, I could do my tirocinio. It's in Italian, like my internship in Maserati, or with this guy on his punky workshop building cargo bikes. And obviously, I did the punky. I went for the punky choice. And this is where everything was born. Then I did a frame building course in a frame building school in Madrid.
There is one, I think I hear from some people, there's in Madrid one famous school, or like a school where you can learn it or to,
which,
yeah.
I ended up being the teacher from that school. Like, I did this course, and then I spent more time with all the frame builders, and then the owner of this school, I spent a lot of time with him as well, learning, and I started building or helping him with small productions of bikes, where we were building 10, 15 bikes here and there for small brands. And we had the school, which at the beginning I was assisting on the school, and then I was the main teacher, and it was super cool. And we were even teaching in the university frame building. It was so cool. Like, we had this subject, which still exists. And
I have a new project for next year.
So I was like, at some point, it's like, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready to put my face onto a downtube and do it my way. And also, I had this feeling of expressing myself through the bikes. And it was actually super, super relieving. I loved it so much. I still think it's my favorite job in the planet, if I could choose. But the reality is that it's hard to make a decent living, like to without much ambition, but a decent living. And again, I believe on the bigger picture of getting more people on these bikes. And as a one-man show, you can't do that. You just can't do that. So yeah, that's a little bit it. Yes, I changed it, and but now I don't build bikes anymore. Now I get them built. I don't have a workshop. I don't own anything now.
Okay, nice. And you also built, like you told before, like with the cargo bikes thing, and it's also something like really nice to have in the city. Like, okay, you are now with the bus on the way, so I don't think that you need the cargo bike, or you have the...
I love when you call my van bus. It makes me feel a king. Bus or truck.
The bus.
It's actually a van, but
van.
Please call it bus.
You know, I saw the van. I saw, and you have only one van?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it last year in Strade Bianche.
Yeah.
I was in the car, and I was, you was on this one hill. Because I was texting also with Mathieu Parent from Nice.
Yeah, yeah.
We talked before that you also know him, like the world is small. And then I saw, like, and there's also this German guy. He lives in Copenhagen, Niklas.
I mean, German guy in Copenhagen, Yannick?
Yannick. And I meet him like, I don't know, some years before in the first year after Corona.
Exactly.
Or Yannick
was doing my job a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And now I report to him. Like, he works in the marketing and activation in Panama, which my position, destination, everywhere manager hangs from him, basically.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, nice.
I'm seeing here the Morocco magazine that you did with Patrick and so on, which I love, and makes me wanna tell. What do you think Safi comes from? Like, the word Safi. It's a story that I never tell, but I think it's funny.
Safi, where it's come from? Safi sounds not really Spanish. I don't know, perhaps from, it's not saffron, you know, there's like these herbs or, but,
nah. The first, which then was not the main, but it was supporting as well, when you, in Morocco, I always say that you need to know only one word when you go to Morocco, which is enough, assez en français.
Assez, ouais.
And in Arab is safi.
Safi.
It's like enough, right? Yeah. Like because they put you more and more. But actually, it was the main reason is actually from Tanzania, because I went there with a bike. I did a trip there, and I arrived same as in all the languages. I try to have a word or a sentence that I can use in all contexts. In German, it's have you good laughing.
Yeah.
And then in Tanzania, it was safi sana.
Okay.
Which means very good.
Okay.
It's very good. It's like
bagus in Indonesian. Bagus.
Same as you have your words that you use constantly. I was going all over Tanzania. Safi sana.
Okay.
Safi sana. And so on. So I just came back to Spain saying safi sana to everyone. And then I had to name it in a certain way, whatever I will do. Safi Sana looks like a yoga studio or whatever. So it's Safi.
Good.
And Safi works because works is so positive.
Yeah. Ping, 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 ping. The dots get connected.
Yeah.
The dots get connected. Yeah, nice, man. This is a lot of information also for me and for the listeners. Not that you are thinking that we hang out every time together. We also see us. Yeah. Today, the first time I don't know. You sent me a message on Instagram or I sent you a message on Instagram or was it Bene? I don't know how were the connect.
I think the connection came from because you mentioned looping grams in one of your podcasts with someone,
okay.
And someone came to me, actually Sophia from Bicycle that we both know, and he said, "Hey, Julian mentioned looping grams on his podcast. Like, oh fuck, I can listen to it. But thank you, man.
Yeah.
Like, thank you. Like, cheers.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, man, thank you.
Yeah.
It was as nice as that. And then I don't know. Yeah, it was super natural to end up here sitting together.
Yeah. So yeah, this is how it works. Sometimes
and now it's sorry for interrupting, yep. But dude, you need to make more podcasts in Spanish because
in Spanish. ¿Qué pasa, amigo?
¿Qué pasa?
Mira.
En francés, ça roule.
Ça roule en français.
No, but like. There's a lot of people out there that we don't speak the language, and it's like we want to know what's going on. So I force you to do it.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah,
podcasts and appearances and all of
that. Yeah. I will be back in France by my family the 23rd of December, and then I will stay like to mid of January in France or in Spain. I will see. So I think I sent you a message, man. Hey, I'm. Near Narbonne at my mom's place, often in Girona with the bike. It's just around the corner. And you say, yeah, but I'm from another corner, but I will be in 2-3 weeks in Berlin. I say, hey, perfect. First meetup.
Let's do it.
First meetup.
Here we are.
Do you have any other question or topic that you want to discuss with me? Okay, should be my work to make the question. You know what I mean? But
you didn't do the homework.
Yeah,
huh?
I have here my papers. I have here my papers. But actually,
I can ask you things.
No, on my in my opinion, I have for our first podcast session, or like perhaps there are like next year another one, like looping gram, what's going on, and I think we see off on another event or on the bike. I have, on my opinion,
before send me that you want to talk about the social media and all that kind of things and so on. You mentioned a lot about this and on channels, not channels. Didn't you?
What?
Honestly, you sent me these questions before
yeah.
sitting down,
yeah.
which I literally coming to your house. I just went through them just to
yeah.
make sure that you were not asking about something you didn't want to.
Yeah,
and there was something about social or whatever.
Yeah. There was something with social. Yeah,
I
sent
you
a lot
man.
Of
like I think I saw more questions than the ones you asked.
I put a lot of questions in it, but end of the day, sometimes I'm in it and I hear it about it, you know, and I'm like, okay, nice.
Every
nice.
Topic, like I said, I can extend it for hours.
Yeah,
either Safi works, either Panama, looping grams, and on. I always define myself as a a mixed salad with a lot of ingredients that sometimes, or in theory, they will not work together, but it's what I am, that salad of ingredients.
I go through the questions, but in my opinion, from my interest, okay, I have actually everything, you know, like communities, what's going on, how you get your feedback. Oh yeah, perhaps there's one question.
We don't need to force it. We have met, we have been talking like full speed, like talking about like, and now you don't have more questions. Like I have solved them, all of them, without recording.
No, but yeah. What are your next big projects? You say you are with the van, or yeah, how I would say like the bus.
Yeah.
On the way. Winter time. It's gravel time, and yeah.
Yeah. It's Panama. It's Panama. Destination everywhere. That is what we call. Officially. Is what people call the van, but it's what we internally call Destination Everywhere, which is basically getting people together and just giving the opportunity in different corners around Europe to know more about the brand. We also learn about communities, so it's kind of connect the office with what's happening outside. Both ways, it's not a marketing thing of pretending that we do something or whatever. It's really about connecting and doing what we like doing and doing it a lot. It is as simple as that. I don't have like a super clear strategy or whatever. It's you connect with people, ride bikes, make sure that whoever is interested in the brand can know more. And for many people, it's like that. It's quite the doors for the brand for many people who don't travel to Copenhagen or just see through social or whatever, and then I arrive there, I'm with the van and so on, and they really get to understand a little bit what we are doing. Okay. And so that's my next and current project. Okay. I love it, like, and I love the company and I love the project as a company, as a thing, as a brand and everything. So just focus on that and do my best, do the same as I did this past year, but do it better and more and have more fun.
Okay, perfect. And are you in the beginning of the next year in Spain or something, like
I fly,
in Girona or something?
Yeah, I'm actually not sure if we can say this, but I'm actually flying to with Destination Everywhere. Mm-hmm. So the 2nd of January, I'm going to with the van. No. Well, we are getting out.
With the van.
Actually, nice. Yeah, I'm sailing the van to. I'm gonna spend 1.5 months there.
Okay.
Doing the same as we do here, but in.
Okay.
So I fly out the 2nd of January, okay. And then I'm back for the beginning of the season. And then if you are again in Strade Bianche, I see you there.
Nice. Yeah, this was my also another question, like how, which pro races you are next year, like Strade Bianche. I also will be there. Now for this week, I think the podcast will come out in the weekend. But Saturday you have here your gravel ride, right? And what's your plan tomorrow, or like when you're visiting, or how do you make it? When you have, for example, the ride on Saturday, you arrive with your van like 2 days before, 1 day before, on the same day you stay a little bit longer, or do you have your little bit free time, or they say, okay, you need to do like this kind of stops? How long do you stay there, or how short it's in your hand?
During summertime or spring or so, it's very packed, the calendar, and I go from destination to destination. I try to have time for myself, but that's mainly driving, which I love. And then during winter time, now it's more relaxed. Like, I didn't have an event from Monday to Friday. Then I have quite a lot of computer work to do. So I just move on with that, which I like. I mean, a lot of computer work. Yeah, I spend my life my day on the computer, doing all the things, and then whenever I have been, yeah. But I try to arrive earlier to places, to meet the people, to have a good time, like off the bike. But sadly, during summer, this
okay.
is harder.
Okay.
But this,
are you?
Yeah. And so I'm going to Hamburg on Sunday,
okay.
for another ride. We have a lot of friends there, And then I'm back to Copenhagen and kind of destination everywhere, winter edition, which is the first year we do it. It's over. I will spend 1 week in Copenhagen in the office and then go to Spain.
Okay, yeah, perfect. Best decision, huh? Comparing your weather. Yeah, when you are Sunday in Hamburg, perhaps you see Patrick. Shout outs to him. Are you coming tomorrow to the MAP party? They open here.
Actually, I'm coming.
Yeah. I will pick up tomorrow Nico from Bonanno Bikes.
Yeah.
Then we go for some
select. Also shout out to Nico.
Okay.
Is he coming tomorrow?
Yeah. We're
gonna meet a good bunch of people there.
Yeah. We go before.
I'm gonna hand over Panomal Musets at the door. I'm gonna park the van at the in front of the show and hand the stickers and Musets.
I'm afraid what's going on there, because it's like I think 2 or 3 meters next to the other store from Rafa.
It's crazy, yeah.
It's crazy today, like all in general, like these kind of brands who was coming in the market like the last 3-4 years, and they build up like communities and everything and rides and tough. And I'm also thinking like, okay, what's next? You know, you saw this year with like all the running clubs, you know, everybody has now a running club, every cafe. And and I was thinking, okay, what's next with like the cycling brands, you know, like these little high-end brands, because you have the social rides, sure, the cafe, like this, and yeah.
Definitely, cycling, not only for the pro riders, it's becoming a lifestyle. It's becoming a whole way of living, friendships, activities off the bike. The way people dress is becoming a whole thing, which I think is very healthy and very nice. And probably that's the reason why I'm into cycling.
No. Okay, last one. Or do you have some Instagram accounts where you say, hey man, that you should look, or for example, a podcast? It can be also like a Spanish one, you know? The last thing is, what's your favorite album tunes, you know? Do you have something where you say, hey man,
listen to this one,
this is a nice one, or this account is interesting, or I don't know, like this documentary, something like, if you have something.
I definitely do. The accounts, I'm gonna start from priority to less priority. Panomal Studios.
really? What's this again?
International Cycling Club, which is our cycling community worldwide. Jimbo Safi is me. Jimbo.Safi. Safi.Works is the bikes. And Looping Grams is the project that I did with my grandma. I think those are the accounts. And yeah, I try to get people to know Spanish music. There's amazing music today in Spain, which I think there is not in Italy or France or other countries. So I'm very proud of the Spanish music scene. And to say an artist, Woof is Queralt Lahoz. Queralt.
We will put it in the show notes. Yeah. We will put it in the show notes.
Yeah, sorry, but it's worth to listen. Okay. Yeah.
You have a documentation now. It's winter time, you know. I know. We can go out cycling, gravel. We can also cycling indoor. I don't know. Are you a guy who likes to cycle indoor?
Gladly, the last two seasons I have not been riding indoor, so I try to avoid it at all costs. I have been there. And probably I'll be there next year, or I don't know, but not at the moment. No, I'm running and I'm lifting weights. I do kettlebells, and then I ride a little bit my bike, but not a lot. Okay. I'm that kind of rider that extends a little bit too much the off season.
Okay,
like I like to be off the bike as well.
No, off the bike, on the bike. Okay. Yeah, in my opinion, nice to have you in my podcast.
Even if you stop recording, I'm gonna stay on this. I'm so comfortable.
It's comfortable. Perhaps you need a couch in the bus. You know, to pull it out. Why not? You know, I had back in the days. I had a bus or like a van when I was surfing a lot in Spain, in Portugal, like a Vivibus LT28, with three seats in the front. And we have also a couch in the back, like a little kitchen. But this was like really like, poof, we took for 100 kilometers hours. Because like the, how do you know, the show you the speed? And you was like showing 20 kilometers per hour too much. So it was like, but every time, sometimes the police stops us and say like, hey man, why are you so slow? And I'm so slow, like it's 80, 90, it's okay.
I'm flying.
Yeah, and they say, what 80, 90? No, you are 60. No way.
I think there's no better way to finish this podcast, this episode, than with this.
Yeah.
thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Ciao.